Let's pray and let's get into God's word. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness and grace and the fact that you are truly the God of all comfort. And we thank you for the hope that we have in you. We thank you, Lord, that we can come together as your people, people that you saved. We were so lost. We didn't even know it. We didn't know how lost we were. But there came that point where you, by your Spirit, you reached our hearts in such a way that we were just brought under conviction and we realized that we needed you. We realized that we were sinners and we became so sorry for all the things that we had done against you. And God, we cried out for mercy. And you forgave us. We repented. And you forgave us and you washed us. And we are so thankful. And that's why we gather. We gather out of gratitude to celebrate you, to know you more, to study your word, to do what you want. We gather to fellowship. We know you want us to be in fellowship with one another, to be in your word. And so, God, we are so thankful that we can gather to worship you and to learn from you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. I want to draw your attention to 1 Samuel. We're going to finish this book. I titled tonight's message, Remembering Our King. And the 31st chapter, which is the last chapter of this book, it brings us to the beginning of the end of King Saul. And when I say remember our king, this is a title that in reality is most connected, and you'll see it's most connected with the people of Jabesh Gilead. Because at the end of this chapter, near the end of this chapter, you're going to see how they remembered King Saul and what they did out of remembrance and out of honor for him. Now, the facts are, Saul lived a life of disobedience. Saul lived a life of rebellion. Saul lived, in reality, a life of hypocrisy. And life would not end well for him. And it's so sad, because his life could have ended so much better than it began. And it should have. It should have. But Saul, he couldn't control that natural man. He couldn't put that natural man to death. He couldn't, even though God had set Saul up to succeed in such wonderful ways, he couldn't overcome himself for the glory of God. And it would lead to his own ruin. He chose patterns that just brought a tragic end. Habits that he couldn't quit. And that's not the life that Saul should have lived. It's not the life that God had for Saul. It's a life that Saul chose for himself. And sadly, as we're going to read, Saul would reap what he had sown. In verse 1 of 1 Samuel 31, it tells us, now the Philistines attacked Israel, and the men of Israel fled before them. Many were slaughtered on the slopes of Mount Gilboa. The Philistines, they closed in on Saul and his sons, and they killed three of his sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. Just like God had through the prophet Samuel prophesied. Samuel, the night before, the day before, through what Saul initiated, he initiated a wicked thing. He went and he saw a medium. And he wanted the medium, this woman who was, as the scriptures say, possessed with an evil spirit, to bring Saul up from that side, from the side of what we would call dead. But the reality is you're born, you have a beginning, but you have no end. You have an origin. God created us, but we live forever. Now, Samuel certainly was in a good place. I believe Samuel was in heaven, and God allowed Samuel to go back. And Samuel told Saul, why have you done this? Now, Saul, he was impulsive. He just could never wait on God. And it's a reality that everyone who wants to grow in Christ must embrace, that if we are going to grow in Christ and walk with the Lord, we have to wait on the Lord. But sadly, there are some that when things don't go the way they want, not in their timing, instead of waiting on the Lord, they take matters into their own hands. They're impulsive. They want things in their time, and they want God to act on their time. And if God's not going to do it their way, they're going to do it their own way. Saul was that way. And Saul was told by Samuel, because he was seeking direction. He knew that the Philistines were going to come and attack. And it was really God bringing judgment on Saul because of decisions that he made, rebellion and disobedience. Now, he was in a position of leadership. He was in a place as king that God had placed him. There was great responsibility. And when he forsook trusting in the Lord, there was consequences. Now he would be facing those consequences, and Samuel told him, tomorrow, you are going to be here with me. In other words, you're going to be on this side. He wasn't going to heaven. He was just going to be on that side. So now his sons were killed. And now it would be his turn. It tells us, the fighting in verse 3 grew very fierce around Saul. And the Philistine archers caught up with him, and notice, they wounded him severely. And Saul, he groaned to his armor bearer, take your sword and kill me before these pagan Philistines come to ruin me, or to run me through and taunt and torture me. But his armor bearer, he wouldn't do it. He was afraid, and he couldn't do it. And so Saul, he did what some would say is a horrible thing. He took his own life. And that certainly is a horrible thing. And it just, the enemy is always there trying to get people to take their own lives. And it's just such a sad thing. I understand it. I have a brother who committed suicide, and it's just it's an action that is done. It's a permanent thing, that is done over temporary circumstances. And if Satan is ever trying to get into your head, and you know, he's the destroyer. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. If he tries to get in your head with his just whispering, never, ever, never, ever take matters into your own hands. Trust the Lord. The Lord will always see us through, always. I firmly believe that. And remember what the Lord says, my thoughts for you are good and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. And, you know, temporary circumstances, you know, the Bible, you know, when we trust the Lord, the Word of God encourages us no matter what circumstances we're going through. But temporary circumstances, that's what they are. They're temporary. They pass. God has a good future for us. And things get better as we trust Him. Now, in Saul's case, he knew what would happen. If Saul was captured by these wicked Philistines, and they were, they would abuse him so badly. And he thought, and to face that and to be abused, to be kept alive and abused for hours and then die a painful, slow, agonizing death at their hands. He ended it. Those are different circumstances. I'm sure he had his reasons, and he ended it. It was going to end no matter what. But nevertheless, when his armor bearer, verse 5, realized that Saul was dead, he couldn't take it. He was overcome, and he fell as his own sword, and he died beside the king. Now, these were different times. These were war times. This was a very, very different scenario and circumstances. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying I could understand. And these kinds of circumstances, sometimes they inspire things that normally you would never do. So Saul, his three sons, his armor bearer, and his troops all died together the same day. How tragic, huh? It didn't have to be this way. It did not have to be this way. It could have been so different if Saul just would have stayed faithful to the Lord. How many folks, and it breaks your heart that you know that they didn't remain faithful to the Lord. They made shipwreck of their faith. Individuals that at one time you fellowshiped together. You went into the house of God to worship together. They may have come over to your house, or you may have gone to their house for dinner. And now, it's been years since then, and they have no desire for the things of God. And some of them have left this earth prematurely as a result of it. And it grieves our hearts. One thing I want, and I hope you want the same for me, is that all of us, I want all of you, I want to see all of you finish well. I hope you want to see me finish well. And we need each other for that. We need to be together. We need to be present. We need to be in the house of God and encourage each other. And sometimes when we don't see each other, call each other. Reach out. I know that some of us are more involved in each other's lives than others. And those of you who have developed those groups, it's so important to continue to stay connected and reach out to each other. And if there's something where you need to talk to me, if there's something going on, make sure you contact me. One of the things that can hurt as a pastor is at times people get upset or offended because I didn't call them. And some folks, I don't have their phone number. I don't know that there's anything even going on. Some of us are not as close as I am with other folks. There's some folks that, you know, and I get it. They may feel that they know me because they come every, you know, Sunday or every Sunday and Wednesday and they hear me share and there's a connection that develops. And more so them with me, I talk to a group of folks and unless I'm interacting with you and we're communicating, there's some folks that I barely know, but they feel they know me and they get offended if I didn't reach out. So I'm telling you, if you ever need to talk to me. Also, I'm a little, I don't pick up on subtle cues. So if there's something going on and you need, talk to me, reach out to me, come to the church. If you don't have my number, contact Pastor Tony. Everybody's got his number, Steve-O, you know, or somebody. Anyway, maybe I'm going overboard here. I'm just trying to say, look, we need each other. And maybe there's some folks in your group that you've gone through all of them. You want to talk to me. I'm here. I'm a brother. And I don't have a special in with God. I'm not more special than you. We're all special. We're all God's children. All of us who are born again, we are his kids. And he's the special one. I mean, he's the awesome one. Amen. I'm just a brother. And I just want you to know I'm here and I need you. You need me. We need each other. And we need to encourage each other because we want to and we must finish well. We must finish well. Now, in verse 7, it tells us when the Israelites on the other side of the Jezreel Valley and beyond the Jordan saw that the Israelite army had fled and that Saul and his sons were dead, they abandoned their towns and fled. See the effect? See, Saul went down, the sons went down, the army went down. And others that perhaps if it was different, they would have came and been strong and said, hey, we're here to help. But everyone's going down and they went down too. And that's what happens when we go down. If we go down, if we allow the enemy to get in and we go down, we can affect other people and cause them to run. We can't do that. We have to stay with the Lord because if we stay with the Lord, if he would have stayed with the Lord and stayed faithful to the Lord, none of that would happen. None of this would happen. Well, so the Philistines moved in. The enemy came in and occupied their towns. The next day when the Philistines went out to strip the dead, they found the bodies of Saul and his sons on Mount Gilboa. And so they cut off Saul's head and stripped off his armor. Then they proclaimed the good news of Saul's death in their pagan temple. And the people throughout the lands of Philistia. And they placed his armor in the temple of the Ashtaroths. And they fastened his body to the wall of the city of Beth Shean. What a tragic end. And you know, I'm thankful that the Bible has these kinds of things in them. I am thankful that the Bible is not just this shiny, perfect. I mean, the Bible is perfect. The Word of God is perfect. Don't get me wrong. But it doesn't hide things. It doesn't paint this picture that everything always goes well, that every person who professes to know God really walks with God and trusts God. It shows us of people who started well. If you remember, Saul started well. He had the Spirit of God come upon him. He prophesied. The Lord came upon him, and through God's influence, he was influenced by God, and he did mighty things being influenced by God. And then as time went on and power got to his head, he started to go down. And he took many with him. I'm glad things like this are here because they're warnings to us. It's good for us to be confronted with these things. Sometimes I look at Saul and I see, you know, who? I see me. And I hate it. I see the sinner. I see the insecurities. Saul had them. The pride. Saul had that. I see it. I hope you guys come back on Sunday. But I see me. But when I see how it ends for Saul, I say, I don't want to follow that example. I know that's not the life God's called for me. And I feel the same. These examples are here for us, for our admonition. A part of that word admonition means for warning, to warn us. See people like this, they're here in the scriptures. Don't follow their pattern. Tragic end. Now, why did Saul die? Saul, ultimately, he died as a result of his choices. But the scripture tells us three very specific reasons why. And they are, number one, he failed to be faithful to the Lord. He failed in his loyalty. Number two, he failed to obey the word of the Lord. And number three, he failed to ask God for guidance. He failed to ask for guidance from the Lord. Impulsive. Different times. When things weren't going the way he thought they should go, you know, instead of seeking God's guidance and waiting on the Lord, he just acted. Now, how do I know this? Well, in 1 Chronicles, if you turn there in the same account, look at how it ends there in chapter 10, we'll pick up verse 13. 1 Chronicles 10, 13. It tells us very clearly. Now, on Wednesday nights when we're going through the Old Testament, for those of you who may be wondering what version of the Bible we use, normally we use the New King James translation on Sundays. And if we were teaching New Testament books, it would be the same on a Wednesday night. But seeing we're going through an Old Testament, we were going through the New Living Translation just for simplicity's sake. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 13, in the New Living Translation, it says, Saul died because he was one, unfaithful to the Lord. Number two, he failed to obey the Lord's commands. And number three, still a part of number two, and he even consulted a medium. And number three, instead of asking the Lord for guidance. So, on the surface, it looked like the Philistines killed him. But the punishment came from the Lord. The Lord, it tells us here, so the Lord killed him. And then the Lord turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse. You know, this was all the Lord's doing. See, God, he is sovereign over all. He is the creator of all. He is the one who gives life. He is the one who raises up. The Bible says promotion doesn't come from the east or from the west, but it comes from the Lord. The Lord was the one who brought Saul up, completely equipped him. He was equipped to do an incredible job. There was nothing on God's end. God did not fail Saul in any way. God provided. But Saul sadly used his free will. And that's something that we all have, is free will. And that's a powerful thing. We're not robots. It's a powerful thing. And Saul sadly, in spite of all that God had done for him and blessed him and raised him up, chose to completely disobey the Lord. And for Saul, there would be great consequences. And God had every right to punish him. God had every right to punish him. And God took him. Or God killed him, as it says here. You know, I don't want to scare any of you, but sometimes it's good, you know, to get a little godly fear in us. There's been a few times where there's been things that have been said to me, either in a Bible study, as I've sat in many Bible studies under pastors before the Lord raised me up to pastor, or a brother came and shared something with me, a scripture, or in my own devotions when I'm reading. And those times where, you know, God will bring a word of conviction. You know what it's like? It's almost like you read, and when you read it, or an admonition through a devotional, or you read it, it's like, oh, that's me. And it scares me. It scares me straight. I like that. And so, you know, what we sow, we will reap. And here, Saul, he sowed to the flesh. And he brought his own discipline and his own destruction. He had no one else to blame. Because I know God. God is good. God is merciful and God is kind. But that same God is a God of judgment. And he's not one that we want to gamble with or play with. You know, there's times when, before I knew Christ, because I still want you to come back on Sunday. So I want to make sure it's clear. It was before I knew Christ, I got in trouble with the law. It was minor stuff. But I was facing, I had a bench warrant out for my arrest, and I was facing some fines or 6 months in jail. Now, I had to go face a judge. It was all just for speeding tickets, and I didn't pay speeding tickets. I don't know what I thought. I thought I was like 16, 17. I didn't have to pay tickets. You know, I'm young. I don't need to pay any tickets. Anyway, so I had aggravated unlicensed tickets and just a whole bunch of stuff. But I got saved. And the Lord said, you need to take care of that. You can't just keep blowing that stuff off. You got to go face it. But I can guarantee And I had to stand before the judge. And the judge was a nice guy. He just asked me one question. My answer was guilty. And that's because my lawyer told me to say that. But the judge was nice. But I guarantee, if I got loud, if I got nasty, disrespectful, that same nice judge, I would learn, don't mess. Don't mess. Remember that song? I fought the law and the law won. Yeah. Don't mess. And God is very loving, very kind, but he's a God of justice. Not one to mess with. And he's very patient too. Very patient. And he gave Saul years and years. Saul could have repented. Saul could have gotten right, but he just didn't. So don't be misled, saints. Paul said this. I'm reading out of Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. You cannot mock the justice of God. You always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature, like Saul did, will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. That's one of those things that's kind of scaring me straight. Don't be misled. In other words, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled to think that you can sow to the flesh and not reap the consequences. Now, moving forward, I titled this Remembering the King, or Remembering Our King, because that's what the people of Jabesh did. They remembered their king. It tells us in verse 11, but when the people of Jabesh-Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul, notice this. All their mighty warriors traveled through the night to Beth-shan and took the bodies of Saul and his sons down from the wall. They risked their lives. They brought them to Jabesh, where they burned the bodies, because these bodies were Saul's head, he was decapitated. Who knows what the conditions of these bodies were at this point. So they just burned the bodies. I mean, they didn't have funeral homes like we have. And so they burned the bodies, and then they took their bones and buried them beneath the tamarisk tree at Jabesh. And then they fasted for 7 days. Why did they do this? Well, they were remembering their king. They were remembering the one who rescued them. I don't know if you remember, but in the 11th chapter of 1 Samuel, remember there was, I can't remember his name, Nash. Anyway, there was a king and his people, and they encamped around Jabesh-Gilead. And Jabesh-Gilead, you remember, they were a part of the group of Manasseh. They were a part of the tribes of Israel, and they were the ones who lived on the east side of the Jordan. There's a lot of history there, and we'll spare you all the history, but they lived on the east side of the Jordan. They never went into the area where the rest of the Israelites were. There were some clans that stayed on the east side of the Jordan. In my opinion, that was a mistake. They put themselves on the outskirts. They put themselves in places where the enemy can attack them, and they were at a distance from the greater congregation, if you would. And it's so sad when there are Christians that they keep themselves on the outskirts. They're not really there with a greater congregation. They're easier prey for the adversaries and the enemies. Well, they were easy prey. And so the people had come, Nahash, I can't remember his name. And well, let's turn there real quick. First Samuel, chapter 11. Nahash, yeah. All right, it was bothering me, I'm sorry. And he was, these were the Ammonite people. Well, they encamped around them, and the people of Jabesh-Gilead, they were Israelites, they went to them because they were afraid, and they said, hey, man, we want peace with you. We don't want no trouble. We'll serve you. How sad. How sad, because they put themselves on the outskirts, so they had to concede quickly. And so they said, all right, you can, you know, we'll make a covenant, and we'll be at peace, but under this condition. All your men will pluck out their right eyes. Now, the reason why they would do that is because they wanted to make sure that these folks were of no threat, no military threat. Plucking out all the men's eyes, you couldn't, one-eyed soldiers, it's not going to be good. And so the folks, the Israelites here, they were like, oh, man. And so they got back to him and said, tell you what, give us some time. Let's see if anyone will come and help us. And so they had gone and inquired, and when Saul heard about this, this was Saul's like first thing that he did. God's spirit came over him. Saul got so angry at and this was after Saul was anointed, but Saul had righteous indignation, and he had said, look, any of you who are not willing to fight, there's going to be some consequences. And people just started, God put fear in their hearts to respect Saul. And the people came, and then Saul fought and delivered these folks. They were so thankful, so grateful. And they just couldn't forget him. They remembered their king. They honored him. And they gave him the best burial. They took care of his body. They did the best that they could with what they could, what they had. They remembered their king. You know, Saul, he started out good, and he had done some good, and these folks couldn't forget that. Now, in closing, and you know what that means. It means probably another 15 minutes, but so don't get too excited. Now I want us to look at Saul as a type of Christ. Whoa. Some of you might think, Saul? A type of Christ? How could Saul be a type of Christ? That's such a wicked man. And he was. A rebel. But there are some similarities. For example, the enemies wounded Saul severely, like the enemies of Jesus wounded our Lord severely. The Philistines killed a king, just like the Pharisees and the religious leaders had our king killed. Saul died a sinful man. And our king died a sinner's death. And if you could, just think about this for a second. Paul said, he who knew no sin became sin for us. I mean, it's almost as if Christ, and it is in a sense, Christ became the worst of the worst. I mean, Saul was one sinner, but Christ became sin for us. Not that he was ever sinful or did anything sinful. He said, I always do those things that please the Father. He was sinless always. But He became what the wrath of God would be all poured out on. He became our sin, if you would. I mean, he took the penalty for the punishment for our sin, the sin of the world. You know, Saul died a punished man, and Jesus died a punished man. Saul's body was fastened to a wall, and Jesus' body was not fastened to a wall, but to a tree. He was cursed. He became cursed for us, in a sense. And you can look at his punishment. But even Paul said this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. You don't have to turn there, but later on in the verse, but if you want to write that down, it says, when he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Saul's bones were buried beneath a tamarisk tree and stayed there. It was over for Saul. Jesus' body was buried in a tomb, but it wasn't over for Jesus. It wasn't over for Jesus. Life came back into our Lord's body on that third day. He rose from the grave. He conquered sin. He defeated death. He destroyed the works of the enemy. And he declares everyone who calls upon his name in sincerity, forgiven, blameless, loved, alive, called, justified, and glorified. Now, if the people of Gabesh Galeed remember their king for what he did for them, how much more should our king be remembered day and night? And it's in remembering the king. See, Saul forgot about the king. He forgot about who really was king. But it's in remembering our King daily and frequently that we protect ourselves from starting out well, but not finishing well. It's so important to remember the King. Remember your King. Many people fail the Lord because they start to forget about the King. Remember what Jesus said in regards to communion. Do this in what? In remembrance of me. And our Lord wants us to think of him all the time, every waking moment. And remembering when we're confronted with something, you know, Lord, help me to remember you. Help me to remember your love when I'm tempted to be unfaithful or disobedient, like Saul was. Help me to not follow that pattern. Help me to remember you, Lord, when I need counsel, that I don't just, because you're not answering my prayers in my time frame, help me to remember to just persevere and to wait and not seek guidance from someone other than you. It's good to pray, Lord, help me to remember you when I feel alone, when I feel afraid. It's so important to remember our King, to honor him, to worship him. And may we live each day remembering our wonderful King of Kings who purchased our redemption. And Father, we thank you for your faithfulness and goodness and grace, and we thank you for your love. And Lord, it's such a blessing to know that we have such a wonderful King who's merciful and kind, And you never abandon those who cry out to you and trust you. Lord, I pray that even in these closing moments, anyone here who may have not made a commitment to you or has strayed away or maybe has gotten into a habit, a pattern of disobedience, as Saul got himself into, a pattern of rebellion. And maybe it's not visible, it's not seen outwardly, but they know in their hearts, even playing the hypocrite. God, I pray that as conviction has come, they're even crying out for mercy, that you'd be merciful. I pray for anyone here who hasn't made a commitment to you yet. I pray that now would be the moments where they confess you as Lord. Today would be the day of salvation for them. And God, we pray that you would be glorified in all things. And we thank you, God, that we are yours. Those who have put our trust in you, we are yours forever, and we thank you. And it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.